Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask today that you grant to us wisdom and insight in your word. Thank you for clarity of thought. Thank you for simplicity in understanding. As we behold Christ, he beholds us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, quick. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. We've been on this subject of so great salvation. Once again, we want to look at it. So we are approaching the, maybe the core part of the teaching now. I believe this weekend and next weekend, we will address the core part of this particular series. And so you will pay good attention. 2 Timothy 3:15. One thing about the scriptures is this, and if you look at how Paul spoke about Timothy, you discover that, you know, it wasn't only Timothy that was under Paul's spiritual tutelage. There were other people. If you read Paul's letters, there were so many people in the company of Paul. When you hear Paul's company, I don't think it's a PLC. Or a limited liability company, referring to people that were in his team. But there was something unique about Timothy that he pointed out. And that was the fact that Timothy actually fully learned the teaching, the revelation, the doctrine. You see, many people, when you hear them speak, it's not that they've not heard some things before. In fact, by the time you listen to them, you discover that they must have been somewhere where these things were said and taught. But I believe that many times they didn't pay good attention. Very good attention. So that you can, you know, one of the things he said, commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Just like that, Titus 1:9. There are people, you know, in teaching God's word, there are those. I remember my friend did say this when we were younger. He said that there's a way people that eventually turn out to be teachers of the word. He said there's a way they listen differently. And I want to assure you that the essence of this series is not just to inform you, is also to make you solid ministers of the word. Solid ministers of the word. And that's important. That's why you have to listen very well. Very, very well. If I have to say that. Now, 2 Timothy 3, we've said that salvation is a major subject. Remember? Remember that. It's a major subject in the scriptures. So from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, you are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now, on Sunday, we started looking at the office of the Savior. Who remembers that? Who can remember that? Let me see if you're there. The office of a Savior. And we said, the meaning of the word Savior is the Greek word, soldier. You said soldier? Sota. Oh, S-O-T-R, from where you have sozo and soteria or soteria, right? So, Jesus is the Savior. And we looked through the scriptures on that on Sunday. Now, remember Sunday, we rounded off by looking at the Savior in his intercessory role. Remember that? In his intercessory role. That while salvation is not just about his death for sins and his burial for the sin, our salvation is related to his life. Remember that? Can you remember that? To his life. So he's alive as the soldier. He's related to his life. Now, look at Hebrews 7:25, where, who knows that's where we finish on Sunday? You know that? Hebrews 7:25. You pay good attention in these meetings. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. You know, we said you can't, he hasn't saved the whole world. Remember that? Remember that. You know, some people think that because Jesus died for everybody, that means everybody is saved. And we've been able to look at all those strains that those who believe he didn't die for everybody, he died for the elect. And they call themselves Reformed theologians. And I thought we gave them very good answers in So Great Salvation 4. Right? Right, for those who... So we're answering a different set, this one. You get it? A very different set of folks. So we keep answering them until there's no more people to answer. Alright? So you listen to this one. And oftentimes, you see, I remember I was talking to someone 2 days ago. I was sharing with Pastor Lan yesterday. And Pastor Lan were together last night. And I said, the fellow said, can you imagine this house? He said, some people are so devilish. They believe that everybody is saved. They are so devilish. I said, why are they devilish? So he got stuck. He thought I was saying, oh yes, oh! Oh yes! I said, why are they devilish? He said, why is everybody not saved? I said, do you believe it? I said, I asked the question. You answer my question first. He said, well, I just think it's wrong. You see? I said, you are more devilish. At least they found scriptures to lie. You just are neutral. Stand somewhere. So we can have a discussion. Where do I start from? You don't even know anything for us to begin with. A dear minister, I saw him put out something. He said, there's a place now in New York, I'm not sure, where they have a gay cubicle, where they ask some stupid things like that. She said, the end of the world is here. And I said, why? She said, can't you see what I'm seeing? Men are even manning animals. I said, that's not new. You go and read the Old Testament. There was a law, a Moses law about that. You see, some folks are just excited. So that's why the world is going to come to an end. So we are in the last days. So that started 2,000 years ago. So we don't know which of the days we are in. Alright. So you need to have a firm grasp of this truth. So that, you know, one of the reasons why we study the God's word is so that we can give an answer to every man. Right? Now, Hebrews 7:25, one more time. So it's not saving, it says save them who come to God by him. Okay? Now, he uses the word, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And that's the word we spelled last week, E-N-T-U-G-H, remember that? A-N-O. And Tug. Channel. It means to intervene. It means to intervene. Okay? Acts 25:24 is able to intervene. Now, if you notice, the way he intervenes is not by, notice he's ever, is able to make intercession for them, he ever liveth. In other words, Jesus has a present ministry of handling not just the believer's past failures, but his present and future failures. So there's a present day ministry. So we said he is a soldier that is he prevents the believer from the danger of his sins. Remember that? You remember that? Now, let's look at how it works. Look at Romans 8:27. The same thing you find in Romans 8:27. Romans 8:27. He says, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. The word there is according to the will of God, but the word will of God is literally according to God. Now that word was repeated in 26. Itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You find that word, intercession. Again, Romans 11:2. Paul is writing about Elijah. God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Would ye not that the scripture said of Elijah, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, so he makes intercession to God. Then Romans 8:34, quickly. Romans 8:34, that's Jesus in clarity. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now I've explained to you that intercession is not a prayer. Alright? It's not a prayer. It's not, you don't intercede in prayer for a believer. The office of intercession is the office of Christ, Jesus. That's his office. He's a soter. If you can't save, you can't intercede. Is that clear? Is that okay? If you cannot be the Savior, then you cannot intercede. Now I know we oftentimes call supplication intercession, or you see we get it wrong, but no problem, as long as the job is done. Now look at this. The word intercession there, again, is to intervene. To come, it has a saying of coming in between, but it's stronger than that. Now, we assume that what Jesus is doing is that God is angry, so Jesus comes in between God and the believer. Then he looks into God's eyes and says, Papa, Abba, don't look at him, look at me. No. Remember, the sota is to sozo. Sorry for my Greek words. Did I say sorry? I'm not sorry, I just said that. You know, like saying sorry in Nigeria, Lord. Sorry. Sorry, what's your name? You know what I mean. Sorry, what's your name? Sorry. Sorry, do you have, sorry. You get it. I remember one fellow told me, he said, sorry, I didn't fall down. I was so embarrassed. He's not a Nigerian. It actually is, remember, is not saving you from God. Jesus did not save you from God. He saved you from the danger of sins. So if there's an intercessory walk, it's an intercessory walk from what? Exactly. From the danger of sins. Are you still out there? Alright. So, notice this. He comes in between you and what? Huh? You and what? Okay, he comes in between believers. You don't want to say you. Alright, no problem. Come in between believers and the, not sins. The danger all sins. That's what he does. He comes in between. Okay? Now, look at what he does. In practical terms, Romans 8:26 explains it, for example, in the place of prayer. He says, for, notice this, Romans 8:26. Likewise, he says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You know, that looks, if you read that in normal English, it helpeth our infirmities. It means it gives our infirmities help. That's how it sounds, right? If you read that in normal English, it's helping our infirmities. That is, the infirmity will now be helped, you know, whatever it means. But you see, the word infirmities mean inadequacies. Just like when Paul was talking about the angel of Satan and the persecutions that came against him in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I glory in my inadequacies. I glory in my infirmities. Now, the word infirmities here actually should be one word, which is basically not in plural, but you see, the scholars have a right to put it in the plural form, since it evolves into many things. So watch this. He helpeth our infirmities. Now that word helpeth is a key word. Is a word, now I've tried to always pronounce this, but I've tried, you know, it is sunanti lambanomai. Come on, that sounds like an Indian word. S-U-N-A-N-T-I, yeah, lambano. Lambano is what? To take, right? To take. So sunanti lambanomai. It means, watch this, it means to, let me explain what it means. Now, come, both of you, come. For the purpose of emphasis, please ensure that this does not stick. I was asking you to ensure this does not stick. This is sin, for the purpose of emphasis. This is not stick. Sin, the believer. Or better still, you don't look too tough. Looking for your pastor line. No, no. He's smiling, this one. Danger of sin. This is the believer. Okay? So, sunanti lambano means I'm taking hold together with him against this. Right? I'm taking hold together. This is the infirmity. Pardon me, not sin. I skipped that. I was too fast in my mind. This is infirmity, not him. So let it not stick. Infirmity, this is the man. So I take hold together with him against it. So if he has to deal with him, he will deal with me as well. Do you understand that? Okay, thank you. That's the word. Take hold together with against. So now it's lambanomai. So what happens is, in intercession, it says it takes hold together with against. So in the intercessory work of Christ, what he does is that he takes hold together with us against the danger of sin. Intercession. So sin's danger will deal with Jesus against the danger of sin. To them who come to God by him. Hebrews 7:25. We've been doing that emphasis for a while to look at what qualifies salvation. So, when Paul was telling Timothy, faith, salvation, which is through faith in Christ, that means the faith you have in the gospel is faith in the intercessory ministry of Jesus. The minute someone believes the gospel, he signs into, or she signs into, the intercessory ministry of Jesus. That intercessory work of Christ. Remember on Sunday, we looked at Psalm 110 verse 1, and we saw that the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. We're going to study that. Then verse 4, since thou art sworn, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, which means that he, in that ascension of Jesus, you find his authority. In that authority of Jesus and ascension as well, that resurrection ascension, you'll find his intercessory work and intercessory ministry. Are you still out there? Now, notice a key word in Paul's explanation of what he said to Timothy. Faith, salvation through faith. Preposition what? Through. Right? Come on. All those prepositions are very relevant, because if you say, if any man is in Christ, now, Christ is for sinners. Christ died for sinners. Right? Romans 5 and 8. Christ died for sinners. He died for the whole world. But you see, that is for. Now, for is different from in. In. In will mean you're in Christ, you're in union with him. That's two different things. Now watch this. So, when you say faith in Christ, that's a different preposition. Through faith, which is in Christ. That means salvation comes through faith. Salvation comes through faith. So, faith is likely to, and I said this is important. Do you know that faith is mentioned in the Bible and believing more than grace? you find the word faith and believe mentioned more than grace. Now listen to this. Look at the word faith. Faith in, now let's take away the four gospels. Let's look at the Acts of the Apostles. Faith is mentioned 15 times in Acts of the Apostles. Faith is mentioned 15 times. Now, for healing, you see it mentioned in Acts 3:16, two times. Remember that? Acts 3:16, the crippled man at the gate called Beautiful. Faith through faith in his name. By faith through faith in his name. That's talking about how the man, so healing, Acts 3:16. Acts 14:9, faith. Faith is mentioned when Paul saw the crippled man at Lystra, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Remember that? Remember that? So, faith for healing two times. Acts 3:16, Acts 14:9. Now, beyond that, you now find faith referring to ministry. Faith referring to ministry. In Stephen's ministry, or with the deacons, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse 5. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 6 and 5. Acts 6 and 7. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, the first one, full of faith, is ministry. The second one here is salvation. Correct? Correct? Or better still, obedient to the gospel. So, the gospel is called faith. Acts 6, 8. Stephen, full of faith. So, we have two times full of faith used for ministry in Acts 6. One more time is Acts 11:24. Barnabas. Acts 11:24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. That's talking about ministry. So Acts 6:5, Acts 6:8, Acts 11:24, faith referring to ministry. So faith is used in there for the gifts of God. But still, ministry. Acts 6:5, Acts 6:8. By Acts 6:7, priest obedient to the faith. That is the gospel. So we have three times healing, two times ministry, also three times ministry, and just one time mentioned so far on salvation or the gospel. But let's go further. Acts 13. So we have three in 15 times. Three times healing. Three times ministry. And then we have how many more now? Nine. Right? Okay. All the other nine deal with either the gospel, getting saved, or spiritual growth. So we'll group them together. All the other nine. We'll read them. Acts 13:8, faith. Acts 13:8. Elymas the sorcerer, so his name by interpretation withstood him. Them seeking to turn the deputy from the faith, from the gospel, from the faith. Acts 13:8. Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. Acts 14:27. And how he had opened, as God has opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. The door of the gospel unto the Gentiles. So how many now? How many now? Three. Acts 15:9. This is about salvation again, the gospel. And put no difference between us, was when Peter and then all the apostles and with Barnabas and Saul and Paul. Over whether Gentiles should be saved or not. Acts 15:9. I put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, that's Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That'll be what? The gospel. Salvation. Acts 24. 24. This is important. Acts 24, 24. And after 7 days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning what? Faith in Christ. Now, faith in Christ there will be what? The gospel of salvation. Correct? Faith in Christ. How many times now we have? We have 7 already? Am I right? Okay. Is this 6?
3, 4, 5. 6.
No, we have 7. We had Acts 6, 5. Right? Acts 6, 7, pardon me. Right? Well, Acts 6, 7, Acts 13, 8, right? Acts 14, 22, Acts 14, 27, Acts 15, 9, Acts 20, 21, Acts 24, 24. How many is that? Thank you. Acts 26, 18. This is Paul speaking about the gospel. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. This is very important because we'll come to this later on. They may what? Receive, which is lambano. To take forgiveness of sins. So what Christ's death does is to offer it. Christ's death does not impose it. To offer forgiveness of sins and inheritance among with them were sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. Active faith to believe. Acts 26, 18. One more. Acts 16, 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So in the faith there will be gospel, doctrine, teaching, right? Come on. Come on. Are you there? So, we have how many times for healing? How many times for healing? Which are the 3 times? No, one is the same instance. Okay? But just mentioned twice. Acts 3:16. Pay attention to the details. I said faith through faith. That's the same instance. So it's just two mentions but the same instance. Correct? Is that correct? Thank you. So really we'll find out that faith was mentioned in Acts primarily for either the gospel and its doctrine and then for salvation. Is that right? Come on, is that right? Okay, so that's the emphasis. So can we say that faith was mentioned in the book of Acts for faith in the work of Christ. Let me ask you. Is there the fellow who was healed at Lystra, who was crippled from his womb, was he saved? Was he saved? Yeah. Alright, let me ask one more. The guy in Acts 3, was he saved? Now, everybody's going quiet. Okay, fine. The woman with the issue of blood, what she say? You don't know. Okay, good. So, all the folks who got healed in Jesus' days, where they say? The centurion, what he say? So why do you have a problem with Acts of the Apostles? You think after Jesus was from there, everybody was saying? Was the fellow at the beautiful gate saying? Sure about that? If people are saved in the Acts of the Apostles, they either call them disciples, all right, or you know names. They obviously went. You said the man heard Paul speak; he had faith to be healed. You get that? Do you understand? All right? Do you get it? Okay, good. So watch this. Now, in the book of Romans, faith is mentioned, pay attention to this one, faith is mentioned 38 times. There are three books we're going to see, actually four, that you must, in the epistles, that you must fully study to understand faith. One of them is this book, the book of Romans. That means there was more faith taught and explained than was acted or seen in the book of Acts. Interesting. 38 times. Romans 1:5 is the first instance. Romans 1:5, first instance. And this is what it says. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So, obedience to the faith in Romans 1:5 will be what? The gospel? Huh? Fine. Okay, fine. So, faith is mentioned here, the gospel. Obedience to the faith. Two places. Romans 16:26. And now is made manifest, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for what? The obedience of the faith. For the gospel. For the obedience of the faith. So, the faith is used a lot of times in the book of Romans, because this is, notice this, simple interpretation. It opened up by saying obedience of the faith, then it closed by saying obedience of the faith. So there were a lot of information in that letter about obedience of the faith. That is to respond to obey the gospel. That's what he's saying. To obey the gospel. So the gospel is called the message of faith. That's why in Romans 1:17-16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, firstly to the Greek, to the Jews and then to the Greek. Then it says, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God, as is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, from faith to faith, pardon me, revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. So, the gospel is a message of faith. A message of faith. That already shows you that there is a responsibility with the hearer. God's not the one believing. Is it? Is he the one believing? No. The hearer has a responsibility. So you'll find faith talking about the gospel. The message of faith, the word of faith, Romans 10:8. Now, the only exception you will find in Romans, but then it's not an extreme extension, will be Romans 4. Now, in Romans 4, we have Paul writing about Abraham's faith. But he began on the premise, firstly, of Abraham being justified by faith. His first premise was Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. That was the first premise he started with. Then now went to Abraham's example of walking by faith, where he mentioned the issue of when his body was now dead. He now goes further to say that he called the things that be not as though they were in verse 17. So that's the only exception in the entire book of Romans. In Romans 14, when he's talking about spiritual growth again, he's talking about knowledge in the gospel. Romans 14, weak in faith. Are you listening? Are you listening? So, the only exception here will be Romans 4, verse 17 to 20-21. However, you'll find him, he goes in 22 saying, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, that was already for his sake alone, that was imputed to him, also for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him, the raised of Jesus our Lord from the dead. So, he brings that example, then heads back to where he started from, righteousness through faith. Then Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that stands out of that. Then again, Romans 12:2. So, now, let me quickly say this. Romans 1:5, obedience to the gospel, right? Huh? Obedience to the gospel. So would it make more meaning when you now read Romans 12:3? We have all received the measure of what? Of faith. The measure of faith. The measure of faith there will be what? He begins to talk about ministry. It mentions gifts from verse 4 to verse 6. So the measure of faith in Romans 12:3, surely is not talking about faith for healing or faith for prayer. It's talking about faith in the work of the ministry. So faith is used in such nebulous terms. He's saying faith, the measure of faith, which is exactly what Paul taught in Ephesians 4:7. The measure of the gift of Christ. You put Romans 12:3 alongside Ephesians 4:7, you're saying the same thing. The measure of the gift of Christ. Because both of them, we're talking about individual parts of the body of Christ. We have not many members. Ephesians 4:7, same thing. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and various pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the work of ministry. It goes, he now explains in verse 16, about the whole body compacted together and every joint supplies according to the measure. So, same thing. So, in both instances, Romans 12:3, Ephesians 4:7, it's talking about faith for prayer or faith for salvation or faith for healing. He's talking about faith as ministry. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? That's it. So, 38 times, of which we just have just a few instances where faith is mentioned. In fact, I can reliably say just three where faith is mentioned. Strong in faith, father of faith, of Abraham. Just two times, really, where faith is mentioned. That's like Romans 12:3. That is not referring to the gospel or salvation or spiritual growth in the book of Romans. So that's why I said you need to study Romans very well to understand faith. Now, 1st and 2nd Corinthians has faith 14 times. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, two books together. 14 times. Only one instance was faith used outside salvation or spiritual growth. And that's 1st Corinthians 12:9. The gift of faith. 1st Corinthians 12:9. The gift of faith. Only one instance. The gift of faith. In Galatians, faith is taught. That's the second book you must pay attention to. Okay, I said four books. Did I say four? Okay. The second book will be Galatians. Faith is used 22 times. 22 times. And totally, throughout, except Galatians 5:22, when it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, every other instance had to do with the gospel, one, gospel, the faith in salvation, or related, as opposed or contrary to the law of Moses. Now, the most critical part, the most vital part that you must read, understand and study, and we're going to switch it now, is Galatians 3:11 to 28. 3:11 to 28. Please turn there. First thing he says, Galatians 3:11. He says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Then he says, the law is not of faith. In just one chapter. The law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Second mention. Then it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Now, thou would have been like, okay, so all the Gentiles now have the blessing of Abraham. No. That we might what? Receive. Notice the word receive. Lamba, no. We might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? So say through faith. Say through faith. So three times. Faith. So you go on and it goes on. Then in verse 21, Is the law then against promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given that should have given life, verily righteous should be have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all on the scene that the promise of by faith, how many times now? Four times. By faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all human beings. Damn the thing. Good. Verse 23. And before faith came, how many times now? Five times. We were shut up under how was we that shut up first? I mean, for years. I was a shut up. Not because I said, I'm a shut up. So let me start. For before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. How many times now? Six times. In just how many chapters, verses. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. How many times now? Seven times. After that faith is come, how many times now? Eight times. Okay? We are no longer under a schoolmaster. You are all children of God by what? How many times now? Nine times. So, in just this place, we have about over a third, almost half of the word faith is used in these verses, from verse 11 to 26, actually. Verse 11 to 26, 15 verses. We have it nine times mentioned. And he was referring to the gospel through faith, through the gospel. We might receive it through the gospel. So it's through the gospel that we receive. Still there? Are you still there? Now watch this. In Ephesians, we have faith used eight times. And all the eight times is referring to salvation, the gospel. One instance that stands out is Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you're able to withstand or to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Now, that looks possible. It's a shield of the gospel or shield of active faith. Okay? Or shield of active faith. That means a defense. We're able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Now, we can explain that to mean the confession of faith. So that stands out. Philippians 3, five times. Philippians 3, five times. And the most fundamental, that if you don't understand that one, everything he said in Philippians falls down flat. You won't get it. Philippians 3, 9. He started by saying that he said, for me to say the same things to you, to me is indeed not grievous, but for you to say. Then, verse 2, Philippians 3, are you there? Turn there quickly. He said, beware of dogs. So we find that first in the Bible. Beware of dogs. So I think it's just smart for Christians to beware of dogs. It's about the Holy Ghost. Beware of evil walkers. Beware of, there was a fellow like that from Ibadan. He came to Lagos and he saw beware of dogs. So he thought the fellow was a king. You know, you have. So he thought he meant beware of doggy. So he went inside to go and greet the king. So he saw the king. Sorry if you're from Ibadan. Beware of dogs, beware of evil walkers, beware of the circumcision. So we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now he's not talking about praise worship here. He's actually referring to the finished work of Christ as opposed to the law of Moses. That's what he was talking about. So he begins to tell you the confidence in the flesh. He speaks about who he was. That I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. Touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church of God, touching the distraction of the law, blameless. What things were gained unto me, those are counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count, but dung. Now the loss of all things is not loss of your car, your house, no, your jewelry, no. But dung that I might win Christ. Now watch this. He's referring to our circumcision in the spirit. Then he says, and be found in him, verse 9, let's take 9 together. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through faith, wait. Which is what? Through faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. This is very key to the Pauline revelation. He said, this righteousness is through faith. It's not mine. I received this righteousness. It was given to me. So, righteousness through faith. In Colossians, 5 times, faith is mentioned, and through the 5 times, it's either spiritual growth or salvation. In 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you have it 12 times. And I want to point out some. 12 times. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it meets, because that your faith grows exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you, all toward each other. So he said, your faith grows exceedingly. Now he's referring to what? Spiritual growth. Right? Is that correct? Spiritual growth. Your faith grows exceedingly. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Did you notice that the 2 times we've seen faith mentioned now, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, and this one, love is mentioned after. Right? You see it? Do you see it? Now, that gives you an interpretation, you know, it raises, a buzzer. Pump, pump, pump. Look at something there. That means you have to see something there. That means, the end there, which is the chi there will be what? Chi there will not be a conjunction, it will be what? The substance is the other one. That means, excellent growing faith refers to love. Love towards each other. You find that Paul wrote that to every church that he wrote to. Particularly anyway, Ephesus, Philippi, and Colossae. You love towards one another. We heard of your faith, remember that? And your love towards one another. So, excellent growth. The growing faith in 7:1-3 will be what? Spiritual growth. Is that clear? Spiritual growth in conduct. Come on guys, are you following this? This is where I teach in the 90s. And I got some folks angry. I said, the faith there is not growing literally, it's actually growing in influence. That is what you have believed in Christ is now growing the influence in your life. We can see it in the love of God demonstrated through you. Now, listen to this. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:2. This is very important because we're coming to this one later. Finally, my brother, 2 Thessalonians 3:2, I'll start from 1. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. And be glorified even as it is with you. And that we might be delivered from what? Unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Is that clear? All men have not faith. Now, have not faith, he's talking about here. He's talking about what? Faith for healing? Huh? Faith. In Christ. All men have not faith. He calls them unreasonable and wicked. Unreasonable and wicked. Coming to this. Now, in 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul focuses on the message, salvation, and growth. It focuses on the message, salvation, and growth. For example, in 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example of the believer. He said in spirit, in purity, in conversation, in faith, and in love. Be an example of the believer. Conduct. Example. Be an example of the believer. In 2 Timothy 3:15, we just read that. 2 Timothy 3:15. Salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou wilt put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. So that's good doctrine, doctrine. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Now the good fight of faith is the fight of the gospel, the fight of the doctrine of Christ. So he focuses to the minister Timothy on the message. Salvation and then the message. Titus 1:4. My son, or my own son, after the common faith, salvation. Titus 1:4. Titus 2:2. Sound in faith. Sound in faith is sound in the doctrine, sound in the message. Titus 2:2. Philemon 5:6. Hearing of thy love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints. Remember what we said about faith and love? Can you see it again? Philemon 5. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual spiritual growth. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? Spiritual growth. That's not faith for things. That's not faith for healing. That's spiritual growth. Communication of the faith may become effectual. That's it. So, the next part of call, which is important, is Hebrews. 31 times. So, the highest so far has been where? Huh? Paul's writing in Romans. Okay? Then the second highest will be what? Hebrews. Wait for this. Second highest will be Hebrews. Then after that we have Galatians. Okay. So Hebrews has 31 times. Now wait for this. In just Hebrews 11 alone, we have 24 times. And Hebrews 11 is an historical book. Historical portion. Hebrews 11 summarizes Genesis and Malachi. Am I right? Am I right? So faith is seen as a thread of scripture. You can teach faith throughout the Bible. That's what it's saying. That is, faith is throughout the Bible. Okay? 24 times. And the 24 times in Hebrews 11, the word by faith, just by faith, is 20 times. By faith. You have through faith too, but you have by faith 20 times. Now, the first mention in the book of Hebrews is important. Hebrews 4:2 is the first mention. Hebrews 4:2. First mention. I'll start from one. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. Notice that. Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. The word that is united with faith is not mixed like you mix cake. Mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, the first mention of faith is the gospel preached. Are you still there? Are you following this? First mention. The gospel. Second of the times you have Hebrews 6 and 1. Faith towards God. Hebrews 6:1. Faith towards God. Hebrews 6:1. Then Hebrews 6:12. So 6:12. be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. You'll find Hebrews talks a lot about the promise or the promises referring to Christ in relation with the promise, with faith. So the book of Hebrews deals with faith and the promise. Very similar to Galatians. Still out there? Are you still there? Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near, and it's very vital. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, that is sinful conscience, and our bodies, Hebrews 10:22, washed with pure water. Alright. 23. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. That word there is hope, not faith. It's hell peace. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So, draw near. Hebrews 12:2. So we have 24 times Hebrews 11. We've had before then, Hebrews 4:2. That is Hebrews 4:2, Hebrews 6:1. That's three times now. We've read four times added to 24. We have 28. Am I right? Okay. So let's read 29. 29 will be Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Did you notice that faith in Hebrews related primarily with the Old Testament? Do you notice it? Come on. Do you notice it? Do you notice it? Did you notice that? Okay, if you don't know anyone. Hebrews, the first mention was Old Testament, right? Okay. The one that was most exhaustive, Hebrews 11, was what? Thank you. Hebrews 12:2, author and finisher of faith will be what? Very good. Old Testament too. Are you still there? So Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:3 will be through faith. We understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. Again, Old Testament. So Hebrews 13:7 will stand out. Hebrews 13:7. There's one that I've purposely skipped. Because when I'm coming to that, we'll go do an exercise on that one. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith what? Follow, considering the end of their conversation. That deals with spiritual growth. And that's still the only one so far on spiritual growth. That will be similar to which book? What we just read now, the sequence and use of faith will be similar to which book? It can't be Romans. No, it can't be Romans. It has to be Galatians. Alright? It can't be Romans. Because again here, there's an argument on faith different from the sacrifice system of the Old Testament. Right? Do you understand? So, you can find Hebrews in Galatians. Let me stop that. My Paul didn't write it this morning. Let's leave that one. So, there's one we haven't read. Who knows the one? Just one more. We have one more left. Outstanding. Outstanding course. Which one is it? I thought you would say it from the top of your head. Hebrews 10:38. That's the one we didn't read. You know, we read in Romans 1:17, I quoted it. Galatians 3:11. Okay? Now, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith, is an Old Testament quote. Paul didn't write it. But it's obvious then, you know, if we found it in Galatians and Romans, and then we're seeing it in Hebrews, the three places where faith is most mentioned. That means a whole lot of truth about faith was taken from that text. In other words, faith relates primarily with justification. You what? Are you listening? Are you listening? Okay. Now see this. Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. There are two places. There are two. What are the one? But that won't be faith. Will be believing. Will be Abraham believed God. Genesis 15:6. But this one is important. The just shall live by faith. Okay, this is what I wrote in my notes. I said, this is the hallmark of the faith teaching in the Pauline Revelation and the book of Hebrews. And in the three instances, the three were referring to justification in salvation. That just put that in my notes. Just for you to. So this is a quote, Hebrews 10:38, from Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk. So we have to go to Habakkuk. When last were you in Habakkuk? What's Habakkuk? It's one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. But he lived earlier. Habakkuk 2. Have you ever been in church before and they quoted the scripture and somebody went to the table of contents? Have you ever seen that before? It's a page 1000. Behold, this soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, before we go further, let's look at this will be very interesting. Okay. Put your hands in there and go to Hebrews 10. Now, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, where did he quote this from? Habakkuk 2. Talking about Jesus. Will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith, and if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, what does it mean there? I've heard people, some people teach this as a perseverance of the saints. Somebody has accused me of laughing this way, and I'm just going to stop now. I'm sorry. It's a perseverance of the saints. Now, we are of them that believe to the end. No. That's not what he's saying. Obviously, he's saying we who believe, just like Hebrews 4, we that have believed. He said, we are not likened to those who drew back when they heard the gospel, but to those who believe, that is in the Old Testament, to the saving of the soul. It's not us he's referring to. Praise God. That's a bit ABC. Right? ABC. 1, 2, 3. Is that simple enough? Huh? Is that simple enough? Huh? Who are those who believe in the saving of the soul? Huh? Because he that shall come will come. That's not to us. Because Christ has come. Amen. I told you their faith pointed in the future, ours points to the past. To us it became the author and finisher of faith. To them, faith is something that is hoped for, right? Everything is not seen. You get it? That's not our faith, that is their faith. Come on. Is that clear enough? That's not our faith, that is their faith. Our faith is that it's finished. Praise God. Is that clear? Praise God. Good enough. So go back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. Verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Let me ask you. Salvation, spiritual growth, or faith for things? Of course, don't even mention the last one. I beg you. The judge that live by faith. Are you living by faith? It's just a matter of studying it to know what he's talking about. Okay? Look at this. Let's look at that text. Just shall live by faith. The word, in the originals, it's like this. The just by faith shall live. The just by faith shall live. That's the original word. The word live is 263 times in the Hebrew. That can be Greek, I hope you know. Huh? The word live. I'll give you the, you know, you have the Septuagint. What Septuagint? The what? The Greek translation of what? Hebrew words. Alright, which is, you translate. Now, look at this. There is the word chaya. C-H-Y-A-H. Chaya is the opposite of death. It means have life or lively. Chaya. Have. That is, if you are not alive, you're dead. In other words, it's referring to existing, not lifestyle, not conduct. Possession of life. So look at this. The first time you see it is Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years. Adam was alive. He didn't say Adam lived at, that would be different, right? Huh? Adam lived at so and so place. Adam lived as a farmer. No, he lived for, that is, he existed 130 years. Chaya. Is it making sense? Galatians 6, sorry. Genesis 6:19. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall bring in the ark to keep them what? Chaya. To keep them alive. Then verse 20. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Are you watching? Genesis 12:12. Therefore, it shall come to pass that when they shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Is that clear? Have you seen the meaning of the word? Huh? Have you seen the meaning of the word? So can we say, the just shall be by faith? Alright? Huh? Huh? Can we say that? Can we put it like this? You become justified by faith. Would that be right? Huh? Does that make sense? Huh? Come on. Now, look at one more. The word faith is another word, emunah. E-M-U-N-A-H. I've read a lot of that overnight. Thank you. I didn't sleep till about 3:30 to 4. Written insight. Or you write books. So, faithfulness, the word there is trust. And that's the key to understanding. Now, to trust, emunah means to rely upon. Now, there's a tricky thing there, because you notice that the Hebrew had his faith. Look at it. Old Testament. But none of the translations in the New Covenant, none of the quotes, pardon me, in the New Covenant does the epistles add the word is. So the is there, since faith is faithfulness and trust. Okay? is faith, and you know, we is it the faith of he that shall come, or the faith of the just? Should I say that again? No, listen. Now, he that shall come will be who? Jesus, the promise. Is it the just shall live by the faith of Christ, or by his own faith? No, no, don't jump, don't jump. Don't be in a hurry. Huh? Come on. Is it the faith of Christ? The word he's there will be who? The object or the subject? Oh, that's some English, right? Okay. Christ or the believer? You shouldn't have much stress, should you? You know why you shouldn't have much stress? Because whatever it meant, the epistles have said it. Praise God. So that's to be the faith of who? The believer, which is found in what? Hearing. Calm down. Which is which is found in hearing what? The gospel. Is that clear? You know, the truth is that we can teach it both ways. Are you aware of that? That won't be in error. You know that. You know who can do that? Look at that. You know, actually, you should notice Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9 exchanges the subject and the object. Faith two times. One appears faith from Christ, then faith in Christ. Did you see it? Philippians 3:9. Well, let's leave it, since you didn't see it. This was a key text to the Pauline revelation. Habakkuk 2:4, the Pauline revelation of righteousness is taken from two texts, primarily for Paul. Genesis 15:6, Abraham, and he did that purposely because of Abraham. Then, of course, Habakkuk 2:4. Now, definitely, Habakkuk 2:4 is a, you know, I told you, prophets repeated themselves. Habakkuk 2:4 repeated Genesis 15:6. You know that? Two things come out. Abraham believed God, was accounted to him for what? Righteousness, faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Genesis 15:6, same thing? Same thing? Same thing, different prophets, same Christ. Is that clear? Is that okay? Come on, talk to me. Thank you. Look at this now. Acts 13. Let me ask you, which one seems to be easier? Faith for things and healing, and faith for righteousness. Huh? No, Jesus said, which one is easier to say? Arise, get up and walk, take up your bed, or your sins are forgiven. Which one is easier? We're back to that question. I have not yet told. Have I told the answer before? Did I? Maybe I don't know. But you should have known it anyway. Look at this. Watch this. Verse 38. And be known unto you, men and brethren, and through this man is preached unto you what? Huh? Forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Can you see? Have you seen that there's always that? I don't want to use the word condition, but there's always that fact of all that what? Believe. All that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All that believe. Acts 26:18. So this is very fundamental to the Pauline revelation. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. That is, this is received by faith. You don't have it. You don't have salvation because Christ died for you. You have salvation because you believed. Praise God. You know, so I heard someone preach this and I said, Walker, he said, nobody is seen again in the whole world. Yeah, excuse me? He said, because Christ has taken the sin of the whole world away. I said, including your brain. Because you seem to be very tired spiritually. You know, there's spiritual weakness. What did he just? You just sinned. You just sinned. Christ taking sin, we said, it means what? The judgment of sin. For who? For the whole world. But it only becomes yours when you believe. Is that clear enough? Praise the Lord. Look at one thing. Okay, one more. Acts 15:9. So, just shall live by faith. Is that clear? Huh? Brother, are you living by faith? Just shall live by faith. Brother, I'm saved. Okay? I'm justified. I'm alive already. Amen. Praise God. That's what that means. Praise the Lord. Okay, see this. Acts 15:9. So just shall live by faith, singular action or continuous action? Thank you. Acts 15:9. We'll come to this one. And I put no difference between us purifying their hearts by faith. So we can say Paul taught the book of Romans, which is a book of justification. He taught it from two texts, which will be what? Two texts from Genesis 15:6 and Habakkuk 2:4. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. Now, James is the fourth one. Interesting. James has a lot of enemies among lazy believers. Not just lazy believers, some folks. Martin Luther once said that James is not a book of the New Testament. Martin Luther, the protesting apostle. James has faith 16 times. That's some time. 16 times James writes about faith or talks about faith. In James 2 alone, 13 times. Just James 2. 13 times. James 2. And that's from verse, which we'll come to that, but James 2. 13 times. James 1:3 talks about the trial of faith. James focused on spiritual growth. Now, let me ask, can we also use faith for spiritual growth? Huh? Very fine. So James is in our place. James 1:3, the trial of your faith, walks patience. James 1:3. James 1:6, prayer. Did you know that James seemed to be the only teacher in the epistles that taught faith and prayer? Are you aware of that? James is for baby Christians. He's for baby Christians. He's for baby Christians. And as they are preaching, James is for baby Christians. Of his own will be God to yours. Huh? Where do you get that from? The baby Christians. The baby Christians. Who taught us mostly the use of words? James. That's why they don't like him. James is talking about spiritual growth. That's why they don't like it. Walks. What is walks? It's not of works. Lest any man boast. True. Then he said, you are the workmanship unto good works. The next verse. Not unto any work. Good works. James focuses on the good works. How can you say you're a believer, your brother is hungry? He said, be blessed. Be blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. He said, your faith is without works. He said, no. James said, so was Abraham justified by faith alone? He said, Abraham believed God. He believed God. He's justified. Genesis 15. Then he brings Isaac, right? As a proof, okay, of his faith. In other words, Abraham was growing in the word. Hello. Yes, I understand that. Talk about prayer. So if you want to ask of God, so say, well, all things are mine. Hallelujah. Say, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James the only person, or maybe those are the only person, James was so explicit on how temptations come. To let no man say, when I'm tempted of God, how can that be Old Testament? That's the breath of the Old Testament. For God himself counted you, never tempted any man. For every man, when he's tempted, see, James is spiritual growth. Say you are lost. That's why some folks don't like it. He's straight to the point. Praise God. I know some guys say, I like 1 Corinthians. I don't like 2 Corinthians. You should know why. Look at this. 13 times in James 2, and he focuses on growth. He focuses on works. 13 times. On works. Look at verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory with respect of persons. James. So he's talking about works. Faith without works, he says, is dead. Inoperative. Now we cannot see the proof of your faith. Isn't that the same thing Paul was saying? I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as a babe in Christ. Is that not the same thing? You walk as men. Like you walk like you don't have the Holy Ghost. Is that not the same thing? That's the same thing, he said. There are no works to search to prove this. Same thing. So, James relates a whole lot with spiritual growth. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Of course, the prayer of faith is exactly what James 1:6 was talking about to 7. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, 1st and 2nd Peter have it 7 times on growth and salvation. John has it just once. 1st and 2nd Peter, 7 times, growth and salvation. John has it 7 times. Sorry, once. 1st John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So say, our faith will overcome. That's not what he said. Keep quiet. Whatsoever is born of God. This is the victory that overcomes the world. He's saying, being born of God overcomes the world. The fact that you're born of God means that, now the word overcome means that you're beyond it. That means you're not of this world, you're born of the Spirit of God. Now what does he mean by even our faith? Even our faith is in verse 1. He said, who is he that is born of God, but he that believes that Jesus is the Christ? So he's saying, this is the faith he's talking about. That when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God, and you overcome the world. That's not faith for things. Is that okay? It's not faith for defeating the devil. Or faith for fighting enemies from your village. No. Praise God. One more. Say praise the Lord. One more. Jude 3. Two times. Jude has it two times. Jude is just after 3 John. Contend. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now the faith there will be what? Salvation or the message? The message. So, Jude 20, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy, on your most holy faith. Look at the word your, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the word epoikodomeo in the Greek, epoikodomeo. Epoikodomeo. You find synonymous terms or synonymous usages in 1 Corinthians 3:10. I have laid the foundation two times. 1 Corinthians 3:12, 1 Corinthians 3:14. 1 Corinthians 3:10 two times, 1 Corinthians 3:12 once. 1 Corinthians 3:14, Colossians 1:27. So it's Colossians 2:7, sorry. Ephesians 2:20, to build. So the word oikodomeo, which means to build, is the word edify. 1 Corinthians 4:14. For he that build, he that prays in tongues, edifies himself. He that prophesies, edifies the church. Same word. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Book of Revelation, four times. Don't bother yourself. Now, wait for this. So that obviously shows us that faith was used in the epistles more for what? We have faith for things there, right? We do. Do we have faith for things there? We do have it. But in James. Right? That we have faith as salvation. We have faith as the gospel. Faith as ministry. So that's the focus of the epistles. Now, follow this. Now, the word faithfulness, which means to be trustworthy. Open your ears on this one. To be trustworthy. In the four Gospels, you have it 11 times. To be trustworthy. Faithful. Acts to Revelation 43 times. Acts to Revelation 43 times. Now, pay attention to this one very, very well. Faithfulness, referring to God or the Lord Jesus Christ, is 13 times. 13. Service, that is to serve, 12 times. Ministry. Then, a faithful saying, 4 times. That is, a dependable quote or saying, something that's commonly known, 4 times. Then, for believers, 4 times. Just talking about believers. That is in their lifestyle, or more than that, 4 times. You find one in Galatians 3, 9. That's in 9. Galatians 3 9. I was open to Philippians. Galatians 3 9. So then, those which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Obviously, that's not talking about trustworthiness. It's talking about Abraham's believing God. So, mark that out. Out of the 4 times. Then Ephesians 1 1. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. The word believing. So that is faith in the present tense continuous. Is that okay? So that's the word faithful the first time. Present tense continuous. So definitely, believing Abraham doesn't mean that Abraham is believing right now. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, talking about the past again. Is that okay? Then same thing in Ephesians 1, 1. Then 3 John 5. 3 John 5. For thou doest faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren and to strangers. Obviously, that's talking about, you know, commitment. So that means the emphasis on faith is not on keep believing. No. I guess it's somewhere either today or tomorrow. It's not on, you'll find faith used in the past tense, like something that's been done, believed. So it's not believing. It's take note of that because it's going to come out in what we're going to explain next week. Now, so go to Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. You know, we looked at the word live in the Old Testament prior, which is to come alive. So let's find the, how does the Septuagint bring it out? The Septuagint uses the word zaho as the synonymous word for child. Zaho. Zaho will be. So wait, the judge shall live by what faith? Believing the gospel or to keep believing? Huh? Huh? Believing the gospel. Not to keep believing. He came alive once. And he said, and in righteousness in Christ, when you come alive once, you're alive forever. Is that true? Okay, good. Now watch this. The word zaho is used as opposite of the dead. John 11:25. Zaho. Now we have zoe. Are you there? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall zaho. That's the word leave. Then Matthew 9:18. My daughter who is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her and she shall live. Zaho. So the word Joshua leave of faith is not talking about conduct or keep doing things. Is that you come alive. Praise God. Is that clear? So the judge shall live by faith is talking about salvation. Is that right? Let me see if that's clear to you. Is that very clear? Let me see if, come on, is that clear? Is that very clear to you? So that's talking about what? Salvation. Getting born again. So that's it. So Romans 3:27. What is boasting then? It says, is excluded by what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. What faith? Ephesians text, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. See that word again? Believe. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption in Christ Jesus, who has set forth to be a proposition through what? Faith where? In his blood. Verse 25. Faith where? In his blood. Say me faith? In his blood. So being justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we have faith with, peace with God. So faith is a factor. Is a factor. Salvation is through faith. You cannot be saved without faith. Hope that's clear enough. Huh? Is that clear enough? You cannot be saved because Christ died for you. You're saved by faith. So, it's a factor. Until a man believes, he remains dead. So, let's go into a few more details now. Few more details. That's it. The scriptures make a distinction between people even upon Christ's death. I've heard people say this like, well, when Christ died, that The whole world. The whole world became saved since his death was for everybody. I've said that before now. Now, I'm going to look at a few. We're going to look at a few scriptures being twisted to support that kind of position. So we'll take it step by step. And I'll tell you where the error is for many who believe in that lie. Look at John. No, Ephesians 2. Pardon me. Ephesians 2. Verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. What are they called? Huh? Children of disobedience. He said there's a spirit that walks in them. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of others. You know, someone said this very interestingly. He said, we were all, this is how he said, and I was just looking at him. He said, we were all children of disobedience, now we are all, among whom we all had. I said, look at this something closely. You mischievously skipped the word, or maybe you didn't see it, or your theology is blind to it. So what is it? Which now walks. Right? Which now walks. We had a conversation in times past, but it doesn't say that spirit is not walking anymore. It says it's now walking now in who? The children of disobedience. They are not children of God. Among whom we all had a conversation. Now look at this. God who is rich, said, watch this. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Which others now? Huh? Children of the, so they are called children of wrath. Not children of God. But God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Oh yeah. And has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Okay? The children of wrath are not in Christ. The next one. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved. How? Through faith. Can you see that? Through faith. Not of your own selves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See that there? So salvation is what? Is salvation by grace or by grace through faith? Never say it's by grace. It's by grace through faith. John 5, you wait for the next session. Look at this. John 5. Jesus is speaking about the last day. Now, and when you hear day in the Bible, it means time. The end of the age. In 24, I say unto you, he that hears my word. Sometimes if you don't understand what something means, you may get confused. Watch this. And believes in me that sent me has everlasting life. Mark the word everlasting. And shall not come unto condemnation. Now, condemnation is seen as the opposite of what? Huh? Of what? No. Why did you run to justification? Brother, it's the opposite of everlasting life. Always read the Bible contextually. Okay? Is that okay? I didn't say condemnation in Romans 8. I said here. Okay? It's passed from where? Huh? So condemnation is referred to what? As what? Look at it again. What is the opposite of condemnation? Everlasting life. Opposite of life is there. He has passed from condemnation to everlasting life. He has passed from death to life. Is that clear? Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, can you see that? They that what? Hear, shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Oh, listen to this. And shall come forth, they that have done good, those are those who believed, unto the resurrection of what? Life. And they that have done evil, to the resurrection of what? Damnation. See that? Condemnation. See that? Can I see the opposite now? Good. So Jesus makes that clear distinction. Okay? Damnation. He says, shall rise. Look at the word rise. Did you discover that both those who rise, everybody will rise? Have you seen it? Everybody will rise. One to damnation and one to life. Anastasis in the Greek. Praise God. Hallelujah. I really want you to pay attention. Seriously, I told you that we're getting the core of what we want to share. If you were struggling with sleep, be set free. Okay? Be set free. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. 35. Just to show you something. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Women, it says, receive the dead again, the dead raised to life again in the earthly walk. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, the word better in the book of Hebrews is for what? It's for comparison. What is better in the book of Hebrews? You should know that. That which is lasting. So that means there's a resurrection that is not lasting. Are you there? So resurrection is in different shades. So that means that the unbeliever will also be resurrected. Do you see that in John 5? Huh? You know, we have this teaching on rapture. I've been resisting talking about it for 5 years. I don't know how long I'm going to hold on. But I've been resisting it. But the reason is that Brother Higgin never taught in rapture. And I think it's just safe to stay out of it. But if I have to, I will. And we have this thing about people disappearing. And then unbelievers and some other stupid Christians remaining. That's the way we think it. And some pastors will stay. And then there will be 7 years of, it's 3.5 years. I used to preach this thing a long time ago. I forgot. Pastor, you should help us. You guys helped me there. Your red tracks. The end is near. What are you doing with your life? And then there's going to be a rapture. Pastor! Then our clothes will drop down, and then we're white. Woo! If you're a pilot, what happens in your plane? There will be so much commotion. They try to explain it in some movies, and I kind of feel, does this really make sense? If you're I watch one movie, tell me the news, and she just disappears. There's some, broken in, you're still around. Hey! Hey! Ha! Oh! Ah! HOD player! Oh, Lord Jesus. Nothing like that is ever going to happen. Is that okay? Alright, leave that. Till I talk about it well. But I think you have an idea. So that means there are kind of resurrection. Okay? Obviously, some people are raised to life. Some are raised to death. Can you imagine? You are raised to death. Can you get it? It's somehow raised to life. But you know, it happens at the same time. Just the same way when Paul was preaching that when destruction comes upon the world, for us there should be taken away. So it's going to happen at the same time. Hallelujah. I won't go beyond that. Praise God. Revelation 20. Revelations. The book of Revelations. Revelation 20. This is very vital. And the sea gave up the dead, verse 13, which were in it. This is very, look at this. And death and hell, that's Hades, delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they judge every man according to their works. Now what is this? This is funny. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. How about that? Okay? That is death now died. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So how many kind of deaths you have? Huh? Dead. Now. Come back. Now. Dead. So two kinds of death. Two kinds of resurrection. Are you looking at it? Alright. So we have second death. Second death. You feel second death in that. Revelation 26. I read the book of Revelation once every day. Revelation 26. But I don't teach from it. Blessed and holy is he that hath. Revelation 26. Part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him a second year. So there's first resurrection. Are you there? Okay, good. Good, 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 good. 14. Then second death. 14. Chapter 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars, which have their part in the lake of fire. The word part is like an inheritance. Which burn it with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So these are men, right? Come on. Are these men or just their deeds? Huh? Good. So, notice the descriptions of the men. We just read Ephesians 2:2. They're called children of wrath, children of disobedience. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Ephesians 5:6. Colossians 3:6. Same word, children of disobedience. Romans 11. Verse 30 and 32. For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have obtained mercy, yet have now obtained mercy through the unbelief, even so have these who have now believed, and through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. Through your mercy. We'll see what that means next week. Verse 32. For God had concluded all non-belief that he might have mercy upon all. Now, Hebrews 4:6. Hebrews 4:6. A warning. Sin, therefore, it remains that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So that word disobedience means unbelief. Not to believe. Not to be persuaded. It's the word apatheia in the Greek. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-I-A. It's not obeying. They told you to come to church at 4. You came at 5. That's not what he's saying. Unbelieving. You are not, it's the opposite of faith. Apatheia. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-I-A. Is that clear? In Luke 1:17, John said the prophecy about John was that he will come to give the mindset of the just to turn the hearts of the unbelieving and give them the mindset of the just, of the upright. Still there? 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Now, wait. Unbelieving of what? The gospel of Christ. They are the children of wrath. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not, are you there? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way you don't, they know not God refers to that they did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word obey not is taken from the word hupakuo, H-U-P-A-K-U-O. H-U-P-A-K-U-O. It's not just hearing. It's actually to heed, to listen. You know when I say, listen. You know some of us can blow that okay, and I'm talking to listen. Now when I say listen, I know you're hearing me, but listen will be what? Pay attention to what I'm saying. That's the word faith coming by hearing. To heed to something. Now, the word ako goes beyond that. It actually means to heed to it. Let me tell you what it means. If I call your name, and I say, Ayo, you heard me. Ayo! I said, yes, that is hupako. You actually responded. So, the disobedient are those who did not yield in response. Romans 10:16. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. Romans 10:16. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. They've not all obeyed. Responded to. Are you there? Hebrews 5:9. He became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. To who responded to the message. Is that clear? Is that clear? Are you getting this now? Good. Now look at the list in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unbelievers. Who's an unbeliever? Disobedient. Who's an unbeliever? One who has not responded to the gospel. Who refused to heed to the gospel. Now, it goes further. Then he says, what fellowship are the righteousness with what? So, the unbeliever is called unrighteousness. Communion with light and darkness. With darkness. Darkness. Belial. Infidel. Temple of idols. Strong words. These are not passive words. These are strong words. 2 Thessalonians 3, what we read earlier, he says, that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked children of God. Nope. For all men have not faith. Praise God. Praise God. Someone said one time, All men in the world are saved, they just don't know it. How about that? That's stupid theology. All men in the world are not saved. This one, a man that has faith, he's not saved. Look at Jesus in Matthew 12. Does Jesus' death cover a man who doesn't believe the gospel? Definitely not. The death of Jesus in this, he doesn't take care of the man who doesn't believe the gospel. Praise God. You know, someone was saying, someone died recently, and everybody, I remember when Steve Jobs died, and people were writing about him. And I said, quickly, I said, well, I hope Steve Jobs got saved, because he has gone to hell. I said, that's wicked! Nope, he is wicked. I'm not the one that is wicked. If he didn't get saved, he is the one that is wicked. Praise God. I said, my brother said, how about, are there no other ways? You know, I'm just looking at all these people that they go to the mosque and they're really doing it faithfully. And those people say, he's a Christian. No? Those are who James is talking about. He's a Christian. He said, are we not being unfair? I said, let me go natural with you. Would it not be so unfair on Jesus? God gets him and said, is there any other way? I said, that's the only way. He now finished, he rose and said, that was not the only way. I just wanted to test your obedience. Abba. He died the death of a sinner. That's the only way. Hallelujah. He said, it's true, sir. Kind of man. It's true. I see your point. That would be very unfair on Jesus. That's how he saw it. Sentiments. Matthew 12. Look at this, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, I told you that's a tautology, because blasphemy is already against, shall not be forgiven unto man. That's a strong word. Shall not be forgiven. You know, Jesus died for forgiveness of sins, but he's saying with the exclusion of this. How about that? With the exclusion of this. He's saying with the exclusion of this. For whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, he shall not be forgiven, neither in this world, that is, Weto. Not just in this age, in the one to come. Some say, well, after a while, everybody, I think the Catholics have this theology, we'll come into that, they call it purgatory. That then you stay in a dark place like Tartarus for a while, then they purge you of your sins, then you return to glory. Jesus said, let's even assume it exists in your mind. This one cannot be purgatory. Not in this world, not in that which is to come. Praise God. Now, I've had all sorts of things about the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And some people say, well, it's for instance when people are rejoicing the Spirit, and then you say, what's all this? Blasphemy. Matthew 12. Praise God. Look at 30. Now, what you're talking about, let's quickly just examine a few things. He's talking about faith for salvation here. When he says, neither make the tree good, or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit of old version of vipers. How can you be evil? Speak, you know, Jesus was talking to them in their presence. Not, he wasn't writing it, he was saying it to them. Might look like, I say, oh, you generation of vipers. And with all their castles, You speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man have a good treasure of his, of the heart, brings forth good things. Now he's making an illustration. An evil man have the evil treasure of the, brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. Speak concerning me. For by thy words, this is salvation, right? Come on. By the words concerning Christ, you shall be what? Justified. That's faith. Faith in Christ, right? Come on. Come on. You can interpret his words, can't you? Okay. And by thy words you shall be what? Condemned. Is that okay? Now, when is he talking about? He's talking about by your words as touching healing or things, or by your words as touching the day of judgment. Huh? The day of judgment. Shall be judged. That's what he said. So that's faith for salvation. So let's look at the word blasphemy. Obviously, Jesus, when he said every sin shall be forgiven, he's talking about blasphemy. Blasphemy. Don't let the word blasphemy scare you. Okay? We're going to read through the Bible now, and then you'll be a bit relaxed. And maybe, if you have sin conscience, you'll be a bit scared. A bit relaxed. Blasphemy, as is used generally in the Bible. In Matthew 15:19, it says, Jesus here, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. Matthew 26:65, and also in Mark 14:64, Matthew 26:65. And the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. Don't forget we said blasphemy must be what? Is in words. Okay. What further need we have witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What did Jesus say? Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He called it blasphemy. Mark 3:28-29, the same thing in Matthew 12. Now look at that Mark 3. I want you to observe that. I have eagle eyes now. Eagle eyes. Eagle eyes. Eagle eyes. Mark 3. All sin, verse 28, shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith whatsoever you shall blaspheme. That is anyone. Isn't that wonderful? That's it, wonderful. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall have never forgiveness. Never. Hey. Nobody is shaking. But is in danger, mark that word, of eternal damnation. Now, notice what it says. The word damnation there actually refers to sin. Eternal sin. A sin that stays forever. That's the word amatano. You know, damnation used earlier will be what? Is it crino, diacrino? Huh? This one, or crisis. This one is sin. Amatano. H-A-R-M-E. Just spell amatan and put O. Okay? You know how to spell amatan. Go back to school. It means, now, put the word sin there. Danger of what? Huh? No, that would be continuing sin. So, that is, now amatano will be a sin. Because it's specific. You see it using 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Brother Higgin told the story of one person who was crying. Said, I have committed your pardonable sin. And the guy's crying. Brother Higgin said, do you know why? I know you have not come to the party most soon. Say why? I say because you are saying it. Father, he was very chivalrous. 1 Corinthians 6:18, pardon me. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth, alright, is without the body. So, every will mean more than one. That is specific. A sin which a man commits. Specific. So, now put the word sin in verse 29. Mark 3. Is in danger of what? Huh? Now look before we go there. The word danger is enokos. Guilty. E-N-O-C-H-O-S. So look at the word. Is guilty of what? Of what? Continuing sin. Now, you see where it will come out now. Just wait. Continuing sin. So, Jesus was equally accused of blasphemy. Matthew 7. 22. Who? Mark 7, 22. Sorry, he mentioned blasphemy, sorry. We talked about, just what we read earlier, about the heart. There comes deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy. Okay, Matthew 7, 22. He was accused, John 10, 33, of calling himself God. Blasphemy. Now, do believers commit blasphemy? So will you explain what it means? Colossians 3, verse 8. Now put all, now you also put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Blasphemy. 1 Timothy 6:4. He's proud, talking about the preacher, knowing nothing, but doth in about question and strife of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Blasphemous words, that's what it means. Now look at Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. The word evil speaking there is blasphemy. Be put away from you with all malice. That means believers blaspheme or can blaspheme. Not that they should blaspheme, but they can blaspheme. Jude 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when uncontented with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation. Railing accusation, blasphemy. Same word. Book of Revelation, let me just mention that for you. Revelation 2:9, 13:1, chapter 13, verse 1, verse 5, verse 6. The Revelation 17, verse 5 and 6. Now, what does the word blasphemy mean? It's from the Greek word blasphemos. Just put O-S after M. In Acts 6:11, they said about Stephen, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Now wait for this. If a man commits the blasphemy Jesus is talking about, which is to blaspheme against what we have seen so far, will be what the Holy Spirit will bring to us, which is the Holy Spirit's message, will be Christ. The Holy Spirit brings Christ to the unbeliever. He brings Christ to the world. Alright? Now, if a man blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, does it mean he goes to hell? Remember Mark 3 talks about a continuing of it. That is Mark 3:29. Remember that? To continue. Now, look at something. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Can blasphemy of the Spirit be forgiven? That's why we read Matthew 12 and Mark 3 together. You know, remember, Mark 3 added something to it. Continuing. Are we right? Come on, are we right? Good. Now look at this. Is this Paul speaking? I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. Let's take 13 together. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious? Now, injurious against who? Against the church. Against Christ. You know, when Jesus saw him, he said, why do you persecute me? This is why I have obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly. Where? In unbelief. So the difference here is, now, did Paul receive forgiveness? Come on. Aha. Now, why is Paul not going to be guilty of that? Because he did not continue in it. Let me see how they're following this. Are you following that? Aha. He didn't continue with it. And that's the difference. So the word blasphemous is to speak words and treat with contempt. To treat with contempt. To treat with contempt. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. No man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. That is regular speaking, which deals with the word calleth is to 1 Corinthians 12:3. Called Jesus accursed, which is from your belief system, an idea. Call it. Regular speaking, Lalio. College is a curse. The word a curse is where you have anathema. Anathema. A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A. Let me give you where you can find it. Romans 9:3. Paul says that you'll be a curse for his nation Israel. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Let him be accursed. Accursed Maranatha. That's 1 Corinthians 16:22. Then you see Galatians 1, 8 and 9. If any preach any other message or gospel, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Now, in normal practice, the word anathema is used for offerings, to separate, to call it doomed, something that is to die. Doomed. That's doomed. So that's why he said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus doomed. He said, but no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, just pay attention to this. He's speaking of two things. He's saying, no one can say Jesus did not rise from the dead, and he's speaking by the Spirit of God. And no one can say Jesus rose from the dead except by the Holy Ghost. Do you get that? Do you understand that? The word anathema means doomed in death. And that's what religions of this world, that's what they don't want to emphasize. That Jesus rose from the dead. That's his lordship. Praise God. And he has no grave anywhere. Praise the name of Jesus. So he said, no man can say Jesus is doomed by the Holy Ghost. And no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. No one can. No one by the Holy Ghost can call Jesus Christ because Jesus is doomed. That acknowledgement of his resurrection is salvation. The heart man believes on the righteousness with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Are you there? No man calleth Jesus accursed. Are you there? So, you know, Galatians 3:13 talks about Jesus being made a curse for us, referring to his death, with epikartos, I'll spell that for you, katartos, sorry, epikartaratos, epikartaratos. It means under vengeance. You find that in Deuteronomy 21:23. But he rose from the dead, praise God. I said, praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:14 and 17 says, now we're no longer in our sins. So, such men that speak of Jesus like that, right? They blaspheme. They deny his resurrection. They speak light of his death. They treat it as nonsense. In their words, he says they cannot be forgiven. And you see why soon. Because it's that forgiveness that gives salvation. So they have rejected it. Said they will not be forgiven, not in this world or in the age to come. Are you there? Are you still there? So, the man who rejects the gospel of Christ cannot be saved. He cannot be. The man who blasphemes. Jesus did not die to forgive unbelief or forgiveness. I'm trying to be arithmetical here. He did not die to force men to be saved. He died to offer salvation. And anyone who refuses salvation simply goes to hell. That's what happens. Anyone who refuses salvation. That's why he makes a distinction in John 3. That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit, which he explains in verse 15 and 16, meaning that who believes the gospel. Are you there? Look at Romans 8. So, the blasphemy Jesus is talking about, is it a one-time action or a continuous action that doesn't change? Is it possible to change? When you believe, just like Paul said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's what he said. Right? Okay. Now, he believes, and then he has the mercy of God. Is that okay? Now, see this. Romans 8. To be carnally minded, he said, is death. And spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity. The word enmity is the word extra in the Greek. It means hostile or away from. E-C-H-T-R-A. Hostile or away from. Hostile. Luke 23:12. Galatians 5:20. Luke 23:12. Galatians 5:20. Ephesians 2:15 and 16. Slain by the enmity thereby. The enmity thereby. Ephesians 2:15-16. Then James 4:4. James 4:4. So the man who said, so those are in the flesh cannot please God. That's why he said, who preached the gospel? So then faith comes by hearing. Romans 8:17. Look at that. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. and hearing about the word of God. Now, the word cometh, of course, is not in the Greek. You have the word faith, by hearing. The word by is the word ex, E-X. Out of, out from. Out of, out from. The word hearing, I told you earlier, is the word report, what is heard. Ako in the Greek. A-K-O-U-O, to hear. From Akoe, sorry. A-K-O-E from Ako, that's A-K-O-E, from A-K-O-U-O, it means a report. So they cannot, you cannot have a report. What is the report? The report of Christ. So it's by that report that faith is found in a man and then he's called saved. He said, how can they call on him whom they have not believed? He said, he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach until they be sent? Faith comes by, or faith is out of this. That is, you see faith out of their action. In other words, wait. The hearing is faith. You get it? Do you understand that? That hearing, which is to respond. That is faith. The hearing is faith. Okay? And hearing the message. Hidden to the message. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Remember, Akko means what? To respond to. So, to respond is what? Faith. So, faith is that response to the gospel of Christ. That's why Galatians 3:2 says, but by the hearing of faith, the response of faith. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? The response of faith. So there is no salvation without faith. Is that very clear? Is that very, very clear? There is no salvation without faith. Faith is out of that. That is, faith is X out of the hearing. Out of the hearing. That is, the hearing is faith. Now don't forget, the hearing we're talking about is not hearing like you're listening to me. It's responding. Like I said, if I call you and then you respond to what I say, that is what? Faith. And Paul defines it earlier. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which you preach. If you will confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that is the hearing of faith. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't forget, that calling is to, you cannot call if you don't hear. That calling was the hearing. Do you get it? Do you get it? That calling is that the akho. Is that fair? Is that okay? Okay, good. Let's move further now. Now watch this. So, if a man, now, if Paul had died on the road to Damascus, where would he have gone to? Huh? Why? He was a blasphemer. He said it himself. But he heeded faith, and so he obtained mercy. Is that okay? So, It's not a, you don't do, oh, he's blasphemed. That guy's blasphemed. Just leave him, he has blasphemed. No. It's a continuing sin. Now, before we go further, let's quickly wrap this up, because we have other things to look at. Now, Hebrews 2:1, don't forget, Hebrews teaches a lot of faith. Hebrews 2:1 gives us a very clear picture. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnestness to this which we have heard, lest at any time we let them see. Don't forget, the book of Hebrews had people in mind, including Jews, who were yet to be convinced of salvation. You know, Paul will go to the synagogues and he'll find Jews, believing Jews and unbelieving Jews. So, these were written, obviously, to where Jews will stay. And you have the believing Jews and unbelieving Jews. So that's why I say, let us give the more earnest things which we have heard, that at any time we slip away from them. Let's take verse 2 and 3 together. For if the word spoken by who was steadfast, talking about the law, right? And every transgression and disobedience received what? Can you see that? That is, there was a just recompense. That's the law. That's the law. Alright, good. Let's take three together. How shall we escape? You get it? If we neglect so great salvation. So say, how can you escape? How can you escape? We'll look at the meaning of that later, but how can you escape? Say, but Christ died for everybody. No. How can you escape? You just said it. You can't escape. If you neglect so great salvation. Go to Hebrews 10. He reinforces what he said here in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 is a slippery ground for some. It shouldn't be. It's funny how you read through the book of Hebrews and you see the writer talked about sins forgiven, Hebrews 1:3. He talks about taste of death for every man, Hebrews 9, brought many sons to glory, sanctified, Hebrews 2:11. Talked about bringing recovery for sins of all men, Hebrews 2:20, Hebrews 2:17. You read Hebrews 3:1, the apostle, and then the high priest of our confession. You read Hebrews 4:14. You read all that. You read Hebrews 5:9, author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 6:20. We have a forerunner gone before ahead of us. You read all that. Then you know, I'll be looking at some text and say, what about this? You should know very well that the overwhelming explanation in the book of Hebrews is the eternal nature of our sanctification and our salvation. So if you find some verses that seem not to be clear, they are not contradictions. It's because you don't understand what he's saying. The texts are so clear in Hebrews that you really just need someone to help you misunderstand them. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 26. If we sin willfully, which sin is not willful? James said, every man is drawn away after his desire. Which sin is not willful? Willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remained no more sacrifice for what? Sins. It appears like this. He paid for sins before you got saved. After it, if you now sin willfully, you're on your own. Even the preacher knows that that is fairy tale. Do you understand? He explains what he meant. I've told you, every time you see the word sin, look at the context. In Matthew 12, which sin was just talking about? Blasphemy. In John 8, unbelief. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, fornication. Are you listening? Are you following? In 1 Corinthians 8, it says that if you go and eat food offered to idols and someone has a weak conscience, he said, you have sinned against him and against Christ. You know, you see, always look at sin within the context of what he's talking about. So, if we sin willfully, what sin? Look at it. After this is a sin that a man will commit after he had heard the message. Remember what we read earlier? If we neglect so great salvation. Remember that? So look at this. For a fearful looking of judgment and of fiery indignation shall devour who? Shall devour who? An adversary. An enemy.
So who is against? So, to sin against here will be to be an adversary to the knowledge of the truth. Against the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We read that earlier, right? Hebrews 2:2. Are you following this? Are you following this? Now mark this because this is coming out later. How much sorer punishment? How much sorer punishment? Suppose you shall he be thought worthy. Who are now? The word thought worthy is axion. In the Greek, it means it matches the value. Axion matches the value. You see it in 1 Timothy 5:17. The laborer is deserving of his wages. It's used for something you worked for. So, that means this fellow worked for this. And every time you see action, action means that when you were doing it, you had this view. Okay? So he says, shall deserve. How much sore punishment shall be he that's not worthy, who has shown. Again, the word sore punishment will be what in the normal English? Severe, right? Or worse, right? Are you seeing the same thing as in Hebrews 2? Worse. That's important. That's important to know something. Look at 28. Please pay attention. Under Moses' law, what happened to them? Huh? So he says there's something now worse. Is it worse than death or a worse death? Huh? You've forgotten second death. Huh? I didn't say that's the answer. I just asked you. Alright, so he says worse. Okay? Now look at these people we're referring to. And are you learning something? Are you learning something? Well, look at this. How much sorer punishment, that is penalty, timoria in the Greek, T-I-M-O-R-I-A, from timoria, T-I-M-O-R-E-O. It means, now, penalty in the eyes of the law, or in the eyes of the punisher. Now look at what this fellow did, this adversary, who had trodden under the foot the Son of God. Now you and I know that it's not that they put him on and they are stepping on him. Alright? That's not what he's talking about. He's explaining an action. The kind of resistance this is. Trodden under is trampled. Trampled. Now that word trampled oftentimes is used for insulting. Katapatio in the Greek. K-A-T-A-P-A-T-O. To treat with ignominy. To treat like ordinary. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:13? He says, when the salt falls to the ground, it becomes, you know, common. That's what he said in Matthew 5:13. Katapatio. Now, can this refer to believers? Is this a... Let me get a bit vocal. Is this talking about fornication or stealing money? Huh? Huh? Talk to me, huh? Nope. Fornication or stealing money is a sin. But that's not what he's talking about. And I've counted the blood of the covenant wherewith it was sanctified an unholy thing. Is that similar to Matthew 12? Huh? Is that similar to Matthew 12? Mark 3? Blasphemous. Is this blasphemous? Is this blasphemous? Come on, talk. Is this blasphemous? Oh, I think so too. The word to despise or despite unto the Spirit of grace. Despite means enobrizo in the Greek, to mock. Enobrizo, to mock. To laugh at it. Enobrizo, E-N-U-B-R-Z-O. B-R-I-Z-O, to mock. Are these believers? Huh? These are adversaries to the gospel. Unreasonable and wicked men. Children of disobedience. Now, can you do this and then repent? Paul did this. Right? Am I right? He didn't repent. But can you do this and die and repent? No. Thank you for that. So then he says, now, let's look at it arithmetically. Why do you think the fellow has to be punished? Because he has refused Christ's death for his sins. So what happens is that the unbeliever, he now goes to judgment in his own merits. That's why Revelation now retains their deeds. He calls them liars. Now he calls some who are washed by the blood, he calls them saints. Not that those ones did not lie, but they have been washed with the blood. He calls them kings and priests. That means he doesn't retain their sins. But the folks who did not believe the gospel, their sins were retained, so those things were mentioned with them. Do you understand? Their works were now judged, but those whose names were written in the book of life, what is their judgment? The blood of Jesus. Is that okay? Is that okay? So if a man dies without the gospel and refuses the gospel, he stands in his own merits. So you go tell God how good you are. Isn't that true? Tell him how holy you are without his son. He goes on, what's special about the blood of Jesus. Are you still there? Alright, now look at this. This is important. So let me ask you a question. Before we go to one text now, open your mind. So therefore. If a man despises the gospel, he is refusing God's help? Huh? Can we say, God in Christ stretches his hands towards him and the man says no? Right? Okay, wait. I said that to say this. So in 31, or better still, and we know him that said, vengeance is unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. He's quoting from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32, 36. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. This is a perfect oxymoron. Because, actually, he's not falling into his hands, he's falling away from it. Isn't that true? Come on, isn't that true? It's an oxymoron. Now, notice when he mentions vengeance, Isaiah 61 talks about vengeance, to declare the day of vengeance of the Lord. Same thing Jesus never quoted. And Acts 2:20. Says to before that great and notable day of the Lord. What is that day? The day of judgment that Jesus just told us, we read earlier, that the dead shall rise, and those that believe shall be passed to life, and those that believe not shall be passed to what? Damnation, which is what? Death. Are you still there? Are you still there? What kind of death now? Physical death or the second death? So the writer of Hebrews says, this one is worse than the death in Moses' law. Is it getting clear? Come on guys, is it getting clear? Okay, fine. Good. So does he fall into God's hands or away from it? Okay, but the oxymoron falls into is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God is oxymoron. You are saved because Christ died? Not really. You are saved because you believe he did. Blasphemous, unbelieving folks, disobedient folks are not saved. They are not saved from judgment. We are saved from judgment. Hallelujah. They are saved. They are not saved from judgment. They are not saved from that. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not, Mark 16:15, shall be condemned. John 3:36. He that believes not, he said the wrath of God abides on him. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2. Peter's speaking. Why do we preach? We preach so that men will avoid this. And with many other words, verse 40, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. What did he tell them before then? He told them to repent and save themselves from this untoward generation. Why? Verse 20 says, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So he says, save yourself from that untoward generation. In Acts 8:21, he called the man a child of the devil. Serious words. 22. Repent before of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I perceive thou hast the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. In Acts 13, Paul speaking to that Elymas, he said, O full of subtlety, verse 10, and of mischief, thou child of the devil, that's Paul, enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Such men, if they continue in that, they go to hell. Look at Acts 26. Paul speaking here. Deliver thee, verse 17, from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn from darkness. Now, notice what them is not there. To turn from darkness to light. And the power of Satan unto God, they will do that. To turn. That's why we have the word convert. We'll see that later. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In other words, faith in Christ is that turning. They turn. So they turn from Satan, the power of Satan, unto God. Paul, speaking to the Jews, Acts 13. Remember what he told them in 51. He says, he shook up the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium. Have I explained the meaning of that word to you before? Shaking off the dust of your feet? What does it mean? Huh? What's it? Nobody said anything. It's judgment. So, he did that, huh? It's a sign of rejection, those who reject the message. Like Jesus says, you shake up, bro. That's judgment to them. That's like dishonor to what they brought to them. So, it's important that we clear it in our minds. Christ's death is only effective by faith. Christ's sacrifice for sins becomes effective in a man's life by faith. A man is not saved automatically because Jesus died. Nope. It rose for him. He's saved because he has believed. Paul will say, I am free from the blood of all men. Now, some folks will say, they argue around this concept. If I don't take it today, I'll take it next week. They say, well, all. And the Bible says, all Israel shall be saved, for example. They read 1 Corinthians 15:22. When it says, in Adam all die. In Adam all shall be made alive. Romans 8, Romans 5. He has brought, you know, he says, if through one man sin entered the world, then death by sin comes upon all men. He said, if through one man sin, the offenses be unto many. Judgment was passed unto many. He said, therefore, by the obedience of one shall many be justified. And so, well, that what it means is that we didn't have to do anything to be in Adam and then be called sinners. We don't have to do anything to be righteous. We'll see all that next week. Praise God. Absolute nonsense. Right in those texts, you see the truth in there. So here we are. So you find Ephesians 1:11 said he will reconcile all things. Said God eventually at the end of the day will now reconcile all things, including the blasphemer, the disobedient. Everybody will now eventually be born again at the end of all things. That's absolute crap. So there is believing and the walk of faith when we believe the gospel of Christ. Galatians 1, I'll close soon. Galatians 1. Paul speaks about this world and he says about it, he says, he who gave himself as for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. 1 John 5. And we know, verse 19, that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. 1 John 3. In this the children of God are manifest, verse 10, and the children of the devil. It's referring to those who believe and those who don't believe. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil. Sorry, I'm not talking about you. I was quoting the Bible. You are of your father the devil. That's definitely not talking about, you know, those who eventually become children, who are children of God, but you're still being shared by the devil. No. He's talking about those who don't believe the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 1, quickly. Last text here. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom you trusted, remember that, I'll start from top. You know, when he, look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that you should be to the praise of his glory. What happens to us? We first trusted in Christ, in whom also you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. So, obviously, there's a distinction between men in the Bible, and there's also the place of faith. Faith is what makes what Christ did effective. Is that okay? Is that okay? Now, what does unbelief do to it? It makes it ineffective. Are we correct? So, a man's unbelief renders the work of Christ ineffective for him. So, he will stand on his own merit. The man who is born again will stand without his merit. That's why Jesus said that those who have done good, who have believed, John 5:24, will be raised unto everlasting life. Those who have not believed will be raised unto death. Praise God. So in the next session, we're going to do a bit of more study on that. What happens afterwards? Because those are the areas that people have tried to create confusion. Do you mean that how can God be love? Then he will leave people in hell. He said he's love. And they are there forever. And so there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then verse screaming, especially when you have watched some horror movies, horror Christian movies, I call them. Give me one more chance. And then he cried till eternity. Till eternity. I don't know if I get him with that kind of message before. Have you imagined fire burning you forever? I mean, the fire is burning forever. And these are some of the loopholes some folks have found. Because I'll tell you the truth, many folks in the
in the, should I call it, charismatic or Pentecostal churches, they've not understood the concept and teaching of hell at all. So everybody teaches one burning fire. People are thrown in there, and sometimes their wig is still there. Their clothes, just like they, and they're everybody's screaming and screaming. And the funny part about what I discovered about the hell concept is that the demons are always not in the hell. They are the ones pushing people there. And some people have the idea also that the demons are the ones tormenting people in hell. So God gave them immunity. And they are screaming. You know, so. And people have seen visions of hell burning with fire. I have seen one before. But I've never seen it again. Because every time you are informed in the word, your visions will change. I didn't see it again. I've seen it before. And you see, one day I will explain visions to you in a very different way. Sometimes God uses what you know to communicate. Even if it's, that's why visions are not doctrinal. Remember that Peter and he had to use animals? Animals. So he just knew. I don't think the Gentiles were the animals. But somehow, he communicated the truth to him. You see hell. I've seen hell before. Have you been there before? There was this burning. And then burning, burning. Ah! So how can God be love? What kind of God is that? And he loves and leaves people forever and they're born there crying. Ah! I told a woman, say, how can God be love and force you to heaven? I thought that's the one that defines love. He says, you must go. I hate you. Forget about that. I'm forcing you to heaven. And he drags you like a dog. So we're going to heaven together. That's not love. Love does not insist on his own rights. God is not insisting on heaven at all. He's not insisting on you not being condemned. Praise God. Alright, we catch again by 11 morning.